Good morning. How good is God? All the time. Gundag got it. This morning when I came in, they had the photo of the Prime Minister and his family, and I just started crying. Excuse me. I don't normally do this, but it's like, now's the time. If we're going to rise up, now's the time. We've got a man of God that God placed in charge of our country. How amazing is that? And God's not waiting to move. He's waiting for us. We're the red hot arrows. And I'm going to shoot you with the word of God this morning. Oh, he's so good. At conference, I was standing right here, actually. I walked up, Jaleel and Andy were speaking, and I just joined in the conversation. They'll talk about when they were younger and the things that we thought and learnt in church. And then Jaleel goes, there's one thing that we have to strive for. There's only one. And then we're both looking, and he goes, it's rest. And then it was like, God's like, boom, that's what I want you to speak on. And I was like, rest? Okay, so I forgot about till after conference. And then you have these things like, did God really say that? Or was that me? Or and then this morning, Carly brings a word about rest. And I'm just excited because God is so amazing. He's so good. And when we open his word, it's just so powerful and it can speak into our hearts and change us. So, how do we keep the fire of God burning inside of us? Andy touched on that last week and it was awesome. How do we stay full of life and passion? How do we keep fighting the good fight even if we grow weary and tired spiritually? How do we just keep fighting the good fight? How do we feel like God's close all the time and he's not far away? And that's the questions I want to answer this morning. So if we go to Hebrews 4, it's actually chapter 3 and 4 that it talks about this rest, this faith, rest, life. Not faithless, faith, rest, life. And so I'm just going to start at chapter 4 though, because I don't want to read to you all morning. So now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into this realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. This is talking to the believers, this scripture. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath that they will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. Now we're going to read on, but first, I've never used a whiteboard before. This is exciting. I'm not a teacher. All right, so this chapter goes from right the beginning of, beginning of creation right to us today. So we're going to do a bit of a timeline. Okay, so when it was talking about he was grieved with them. It was talking about the Israelites. So let's put them here. The Israelites, and they wandered in the wilderness in unbelief. That's them. They were God's people who were slaves in Egypt, and then he called Moses to take them out. And we used to sing this song in kids' church. It was like, Pharaoh, Pharaoh, ooh, baby, let my people go. And then we'd all go, ooh, yeah. I don't know why I did that. Okay, so God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. In verse 4, it says in scriptures, and on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. So we can put up here, God rested on the seventh day. It's kind of cryptic, this. There's so much in it. And again, as stated before, they would never enter into my calming place of rest. So he keeps repeating about these Israelites who wandered around in the desert for 40 years. He'd given them this promise of this promised land, but because they had unbelief in their hearts, they didn't make it. So many of them just died in that wilderness in the desert because of the unbelief. So verse 6. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into the realm of faith's rest because of their unbelieving hearts. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into this faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God has ordained a day for us to enter into called today. For it was long afterwards that God repeated it in David's words. If only today you would listen to his voice and do not harden your hearts. Okay, so we've got here, 40 years later, Joshua, I think we're about to go to him. He reached the promised land. Can you read my writing? And then he repeated it again in Psalms through David. So he really wanted us to get this, didn't he? In Psalms 95, talks about these guys as well. And then here, today, this is us. Today. If we believe, we'll receive rest. Okay, let's read on. So, now, if the promise was rest, was fulfilled when Joshua brought the people into the land. So, it was actually from these Israelites, the whole big tribe of Israelites of God's people, the only two that entered this promised land that God told them was theirs, that was their promise, was Joshua and Caleb, and then all the kids and the younger generation that went with them. There was only two that reached this promised land. And when they got to the promised land, God talks about another rest. Because the rest of God, this peace and this calm in our soul and our spirit, it's not a place. It's not a holiday on the beach. Yeah. It's a spirit thing. So as we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works. Just as God celebrates in his finished works and he rests in them. So that's why it's mentioned right back, the creation of the world, God rested, because for us to enter into this rest in him, we have to cease from our works. How cool is that? Like our theme's the big picture. This is the big picture all the way back there, all the way to today. And then there's a door here that stays open. We can enter it whenever we want. The door to his rest is open for us. So let's just go verse 12. For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy. It pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. There is not one person who can hide their thoughts from God. For nothing that we do remains a secret, and nothing created is concealed. But everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. Wow, I love the word of God. It's incredible. So with that in mind, this faith, rest, life. If you look up like the meaning of Hebrews, and it was actually written for the believers, and it references all through Hebrews these shadows of Jesus through the whole Old Testament. And then it comes all the way to Jesus now in the New Testament, and it kind of gives us the comparison. So the whole book, if we dig really deep into it and find out the meanings and just let God speak to us through the words, we find true life and intimacy with Him through our amazing King Jesus. And then I've got, "Come to me, all who are weary," which Kylie brought, Matthew 11, 28 to 29. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." That's what He's like. He's so gentle. He's so humble. And He loves us so much. So looking over this whole chapter, and it goes back to chapter 3 as well, there's four things that just really keep getting repeated. So we've got here, we've got a key. So the key to rest, there's these four things. There's faith, belief. It's funny because when we got this whiteboard down at 1 minute to 10, Andy was rubbing it off, and right, it was probably right here, it said belief. I'm like, "Don't rub that out." And he'd just gone through, and I was like, "Ah, that was Jaleel." Not through works. I think if I was a teacher, I'd have to get a bit more practice. Oh, works. And then the word. These are the four things that keep getting repeated through this whole chapter. So if we want to live in the fullness of what God has for us, this faith, rest, life, it said we must join our faith with the Word of God. Faith comes from the finished work of Jesus, all that He did, that He came and He died on a cross, because He loved us, because He wanted to put all that He is inside of us. In Romans 1, 16 to 17, it says, "I refuse to be ashamed of sharing the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ. For I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved, the Jew first and then people everywhere. This gospel unveils a continual revelation of God's righteousness, a perfect righteousness given to us when we believe. It moves us from receiving life through faith to the power of living by faith." Isn't that incredible? Everyone who believes in Jesus is saved. The end. We don't have to work for it. We don't have to do this, 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 this. You know, the Israelites, I went through a bit of Exodus and Numbers, and the amount of things that they had to do and the sacrifices and the law and the temple and this and that. It's like, whoa, I'm so thankful for Jesus. All we have to do is say, "Hey, Jesus, here I am. Please forgive me of that sin." We don't have to do any of the all the stuff that they had to do. And it unveils continual revelation of God's righteousness. It unveils continual. So the word, it continues to show us who we are, that we are righteous. We're the sons and daughters. Oh, I love that. It's a continual thing. And then it moves us from receiving life to living it out. Oh, living it out. It's so exciting when you get just a glimpse, just a understanding, truly the word, understanding of all that He did for us and then what we can live in. the victory that we can live in. So when he hung on that tree, when he was crucified, we died with him. We're dead. You might think, well, that's a bit extreme. I don't want to be dead. But it's the flesh, it's the all the bad stuff. It went to the cross with Jesus and it died. And you know what? Us dying is the very best thing that could ever happen. The best. Because for us to die, that's when the freedom comes. That's when the sin's gone. That's when the sickness can go. That's when we come alive on the inside. That's when, you know, we don't have to live for our approval from other people and what they say and what they do to us. It doesn't matter. It's all about him. And our identity is in him and our life is in him and everything is in him. And we can go through life in rest and in peace no matter what happens because of him. Oh, that gets me excited. True rest is a heart at leisure from itself. That's a quote I read. Because we were never created to live for ourselves. Ever. It's not the way he made us. So it's no longer him that lives. It's no longer I that lives, sorry. But it's him in us. Inside us. He wants to live in us and then through us to the world around us. In 1 John 2:6, it says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as he walked. And when I was a kid, I used to think, whoa, as if, like, Jesus, like, did miracles wherever he went. He preached wherever he went. He saw blind eyes open. He saw dead men rise. And I'm thinking, me? Seriously? We're supposed to walk as Jesus walked. What? But even if we just take it back a bit from there, from the incredibleness of what can be, the miracles, the people coming to know him, all that, take it back to what he was really like, his character, his integrity, the way he loved, the way he just gave out wherever he was. Not once in the Bible it says that Jesus had fear. Not once in the Bible did Jesus worry. Jesus didn't have anxiety. Jesus didn't get depressed. Do we really live like Jesus is inside of us, living through us? And I'm not saying any of this to make you feel bad. No way. That's not it at all. He loves us so much, no matter what we do. But when we just get a revelation of this, the same power that rose him from the dead is in me, is in you. That same power. He's living in us. And we're all growing in this. That's the awesome part about it. And part of living in this place where he just lives through us and in us in this spiritual rest is that our mind starts to think different. It starts to change. Instead of thinking naturally like we have our entire lives, the natural thing, something happens, oh no, call your friend and what do I do? He is inside of you. The very God, his power, his son, Jesus, lives in you. And so our minds just start to flick from the natural to the supernatural. And it doesn't just happen once like, oh, yep, I know that. I'm good. good to go. It takes time of just constant renewing of our mind. We got a new kitchen the other month, and this is not in my notes, and the tap is fully black. It's like really cool, actually. Anyway, there's no little red or blue thingy. And so for weeks, I'm going, what's the cold? Which one's hot? And I just couldn't work it out. Every time I'd be like, yep, I know. No, wrong one. And then Andy goes to me, now, hun, hot is towards you because you're hot. And from now on, I'm like, oh, yeah, sweet, I'm hot. That's ridiculous. I don't know why I said that. But it's true, like for weeks, yeah, I know it's that one. No, I know it's that one. And like it just takes a renewing of your mind. And one day I will not think about that, which way's hot, which way's cold. It'll just automatically happen. And then when we spend time with Jesus, the more time we spend with him and in his word, it's just this change happens in our mind, this natural to the spiritual, and it's so cool. Natural to the spiritual. And then when things happen in life, which they do, we sang about it this morning, the storms, the trials, the chaos. It's crazy, but we can stand and know that our hearts and our souls are completely at rest in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He's so good. And we just have to be so careful that we don't let the things of life speak louder than truth. Because things, they're going to happen. They'll keep happening. Troubles, it's part of life. But when we let that dictate what we believe in our faith and what our heart's like, that's when we're in trouble. His word has to speak louder than our experiences. Let's not get bitter and twisted like so many people do. Oh, well, you don't know what this person did to me. You know, it doesn't matter. Jesus went through way more. And when you live in him, it's his forgiveness that comes out. His truth, his word. Let's not be like the Israelites, wandering around and around and around in the wilderness. God, where are you? And then he just performs miracle after miracle, and they're like, yeah, well, that's good, but our trust is always in Jesus. Not in our feelings and our emotions. It's just Jesus. And we need to continually encourage each other with this. We're family. Yesterday, I was actually struggling with this message because I was like, is this really what you want me to talk about? And then it was so jumbled because there's just so much going from the start of the world until now. And Shell actually texted me, and she had a prophetic picture of me standing and looking up to him and him making it really clear. And I was like, God is so good, because just that morning I'd gone out to the bush and I'm like, you know, I can write notes all I want. I can try to figure it all out, but I just want to be with Jesus. I want to spend time with him. And I actually went for a big walk, and then I sat on a log and I'm just looking up to him. And then she texts me and said that she saw me looking up. And I'm just like, oh, it was so encouraging. But that's what we should be like to each other. We just encourage each other. Like when we're not sure, which sometimes that happens, you would get alongside each other and build each other up. We're family. That's what we're here for. I'm so thankful for this church and every single person here. I really am. The friends that we've made, the young adults crew that we just meet out there and spend time with each other. It's so awesome. So if we go back to verse 11, it says, "So then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief." Doubt and unbelief. You know, we can think we believe, and this is something I've just been thinking about so much this year. Do I really believe without a shadow of a doubt? Do I believe? Because if there's anything in me that doesn't, I just want it gone. I want to get rid of it. And it's interesting because if you look this same verse up in the ESV, whatever that is, it says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one will fall short." So here we're told God rested from his works. We must rest from our works. There's nothing we can do to get salvation. He's done it all. He paid the price. It's just ours. We don't have to work. But then here it says, "Let us strive to enter that rest." And it's kind of like a oxymoron type thing. Have you ever tried to go to sleep and then you try really hard and then you try even harder and you don't go to sleep? It's like, how do we try and strive to enter that rest? But I feel that God said, it's not that kind of striving. It's not the works-based striving. It's the relationship. It's the personal relationship kind of striving, which is totally different. It's us just wanting to spend time with him and making it happen. Because when we spend time with him, he speaks. He always does. This morning in worship, I was thinking about a few things. And he said, I'm always speaking. Like when you hang out with your kids, you wouldn't go the whole day without talking to them. We're his kids. He's talking to us all the time. But sometimes we're like my little girl Amber when she watches TV and she gets so glued on the screen and so into it that when I speak, she doesn't even hear it. She really doesn't. I've said some things to test it out. She did not hear. But sometimes we're like that. But he's always speaking. He's always moving. He's always doing stuff. It's, will we listen? Oh, he's a loving father. So then it comes down, the last one, the word. Faith, belief and obedience. It's not through works, it's through the word. For we have the living word of God. Who has a Bible? Oh, it's alive. It's full of energy. It pierces more sharply than a two-edged sword. It will penetrate into the very core of our being where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. There's not one person who can hide their thoughts from God, for nothing that we do remains a secret and nothing created is concealed, but everything is exposed and defenseless before his eyes, to whom we must render an account. I love the word of God. In the beginning there was God and there was the word. He was the word. And then later on, the word became flesh, made his dwelling among us, and now we've got it in our hands. God breathed words that we can go to any time in our lives. It can be the compass for our life. You want to know which way to go? Open your Bible. It's the word. Let's us know what God is like. How are we going to know what he's like if we don't open it up and read about him? How are we going to know his character? How are we going to know all the promises? Did you know there's thousands, literally thousands upon thousands of promises in here that are ours? And if we don't know them, they're not ours because we can't agree. It actually says in this Passion Translation, the promises of God are yes and amen, but it says it's his yes and it's our amen. How cool is that? So every single promise is for you. It's yours, but you've got to believe it and say amen. That's mine. Yes and amen. It's in his word that we'll truly know who he is. And I really felt that this was the major point right here, the word for today that God wanted to say. Because I've been around a while in church. I've grown up in church my entire life. I've been to lots of different connect groups and had lots of different groups of people and friends. And I've honestly found that not that many Christians read their Bible lots. I'm just being truthful. And I know we've all got excuses. Some people say, I don't like to read. There's an app, you just press play. Some people say, I've got kids and I can't read the Bible during the day and then at night I'm just so tired. And we're all like, yeah, well, that's okay. God still loves you. You know, he can still speak to you through the Holy Spirit, and that's true. It's all true. But we've been given the word as our sword. Life is not easy when you go and you fight a battle with no sword. Imagine going to the battlefield with nothing. And you're like, well, I'm just going to run over here and hide in a hole. Because without a sword, someone come at you, what are you going to do? It's our sword of the Spirit. It's his word. It has so much power, and if we would just read it. And it's not a works thing. It's not. God loves you if you don't read your Bible. He really does. But I think sometimes he'd be like, oh, if he read the word, he would not be thinking that thing about himself. He would know the truth. If she opened her Bible and she read the word, she would know that I love her, that I'm for her, that I have a future and a plan for her, and that she is everything to me and I value her. If she would just open up her Bible. It said in verse 2, when we believe the word, it will affect us deeply. And you don't just read it, read the words, off you go. It's not what it's all about. It's like, Holy Spirit, please speak to me through these words, the living word. And then he does. He'll show you things that will blow your mind. Faith, belief, not through works, the word. And then you know what? Our mouth speaks what our heart is full of. So if we're going to see this city one for Jesus, this nation one for Jesus, if we're going to speak out the name of Jesus and witness to people, we need to know the truth. And when we get in the Word and we get alone with God and He speaks to us and we spend time with Him, we just get so full and so rested and at peace in who we are and who we were created to be, that He comes down and in us and through us, and we live that out and affect everyone around us. So if the band would like to come back. You know what? I can't pray for you to get rest. It's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth. It's the personal relationship. So these guys are going to do one more song. Hey, can we do the victory one? Riding on the storm. I just had this picture of Jesus, like when the storm came and He was riding on the storm, these huge waves and the wind, and Jesus just walking along. It doesn't faze Him, a storm. That's what He's like. Riding on the storm. I just love that. Or there's another storm in the Bible where the boat was being rocked and everyone's scared and, Jesus, help us. And He's just down the bottom having a nap. He's just having a physical rest, because the storm and the circumstances don't change Him. So this morning, why don't you stand? Jesus is amazing. He came and He gave His life so that we could have life. And if you don't know Him, I want to invite you today to make the best decision you will ever make in your entire life that will change it completely for the better. If you don't know Him, all it takes is opening up your heart. I believe. All the dumb stuff can die and I'll just live in you. So if that's you and you'd like to invite Jesus into your heart, I'd love you to come up the front. We can pray together. But everyone else, as we sing this song, just have a moment with Him where you just open up your heart and your mind and all that you are and just surrender everything you are before Him. If there's unbelief, you can repent. His presence is here, and it's so incredible. It's in His presence that He just completely changes us. It's in His presence that our minds are renewed. He speaks to us. He brings healing. If you need healing, you can come up the front for a prayer. We can lay hands on you and pray for that. But yeah, let's just sing and just worship Him. Let Him come in and speak to you right now.